This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49 a.m., you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Keith. Now, as Malaysia grapples with the long-term implications of having an aging nation, one of the issues being debated is the nature and timeline for retirement. Under the current law, the minimum mandatory retirement age is 60. This was set back in 2012.
But then life expectancy of the average Malaysian has reached 78 years for men and 80 years for women. And as the share of younger people in the population shrinks, older people are likely expected to remain in the workforce for longer.
But how receptive is society to the notion that seniors can continue to contribute productively to the economy beyond the retirement age? And what are the policy initiatives that can help shift attitudes to encourage a multi-generational workforce?
For more thoughts on this, we speak to Chai Senting, Senior Research Officer at the Malaysian Research Institute on Aging of University Putra Malaysia. Senting, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. What do you see as the key obstacles for seniors who want to work beyond the formal retirement age of 60 at the moment?
I suppose the biggest obstacle comes from the primary actors themselves, whether it's the employers or the employees, because we are looking at a situation where studies have been conducted in the past, and we found, Ilmiah's survey findings showed that some of the elderly do not actually want to work beyond retirement age. And for those who do, the most significant problem is that they do not know where to look for such jobs, you know, as they are not so handily available or easy to come by. But the biggest roadblock, I suppose, is actually the perception that employers are not interested in hiring seniors. And there are actually also discouragement from family members who feel that, you know, your parents or your aged parents should not be working in old age. These are some of the research findings that we do know of.
How adequate is the current legislative framework in addressing these barriers?
Actually, our Employment Act does not really specify a fixed retirement age. That is why the law is called the minimum retirement age in 2012. And that was actually enacted so that we were hoping that the retirement age would align with the mandatory retirement age of civil servants, which was set at 60. But what we do have actually is some policies and incentives to encourage employers to hire older persons. But we don't have something like what you call a re-employment age, like what's available in Japan and Singapore, to actually encourage older persons to remain in the workforce a little bit longer if they would want to.
So should we then actually consider formally raising the retirement age from the current level of 60? And, you know, should the government legislate? And on the flip side, what would the repercussions be actually?
I think we should tread carefully on, again, upping the retirement age to 65. I think Singapore has a plan to do that, to increase their formal retirement age to 65 at 2030. And they are doing it gradually, you know, 1 year at a time, every few years. And I think that's a smart way to go about it, because you would like the labor market to absorb these changes and to see whether it doesn't affect, you know, as much the employment at other age groups. Although they don't really compete directly, I think the real reason we should be cautious is that it's not a question of if, it's a question of when do we do it, and how do we increase the retirement age. I think our bigger problem here now is the misalignment of full withdrawal age for EPF with the minimum retirement age. One is still 55 and the other is 60. So there's really very little incentive for anyone actually to work beyond the retirement age, because they already withdrawn their EPF 5 years earlier. And there's very little incentive for them to stay in the workforce unless financial circumstances or personal interest. So the real question here becomes whether there is a platform for them. So Re-Employment Age Act will not be a mandatory increase in retirement age. it'll be more like, you know, when someone reaches the age of 60, their employer has the obligation to offer them contractual employment for another 3 to 5 years, maybe at a different pay, maybe at a different job scope. So if you want to take it, you can take it up. So it's a more gradual way of phasing out from the labor market.
And I mean, earlier you were talking about barriers being actual attitudes of society to older people continuing work. What do you think needs to happen, or what kind of mindset shifts are needed in order to facilitate the employment and re-employment of seniors in Malaysia?
I think it cut both ways, employers and employees. Of course, some of these questions are industry specific, but I think workers at any age has to be open to training and retraining, and there has to be some upskilling, new tools, new equipments at the workplace. But at the same time, employers have to make sure that the workplace is more friendly to older workers. And I think flexible working hours is one thing. It's not so much about seniority and wages, but actually trying to have a better working environment that can help older workers to remain in the workforce. I think we have quite a lot of programs recently, whether it's the tax incentives or the Seniors Back in Action, Sabah initiative launched under the HRDC. So we have job portals, we have also companies and NGOs like Hire Seniors who are trying to match up senior citizens with employment in later life. But I suppose attitudinal change is the most important, whether you are an employer or an employee. I think that's the key issue here.
Okay, I'm going to wear the hat of the employer and be a bit of a devil's advocate here. Because some people will argue, why would I need to retain this older person that's on a higher pay package versus hiring a younger person on a lower pay package who supposedly has better energy?
Yeah, I think the real question here is that what is our wage structure and what is our salary scheme? Is it based on seniority alone, or is it really actually based on tangible productivity or productive output? I think that's a key question here. But the real reason why we should be hiring seniors is not so much at the same level of pay or the position that they are at. You know, if you decided to extend the contract of a senior official or your CEO for another year or two, that's definitely, you know, you don't change overnight, you know, from 59 to 60 and then you're a different person. It doesn't really quite work that way. But I suppose the experience and the know-how of seniors, especially what we call institutional memory, is useful in many ways so that we do not try and reinvent the wheel all the time. But for older workers, they have to also accept that there are probably going to be a change in their salary. There are probably going to be a change in their job scope as they move into a different role in older ages. You know, I don't think we can ever compete with younger workers in terms of their youth, you know, their get-go attitude. But that's the reason why we emphasize that, you know, today we are looking at a multi-generational workforce, and how does the Gen X with the boomers work together, Gen Z, millennials, you know, and how they work together in the workplace. We believe diversity actually strengthens an organization. You know, you make it better at handling risks, and it actually makes an organization more resilient. And this is up to the employers and employees to really work out an environment where age is not really the reason here. It's really about what do you bring to the table and what kind of productive output can be achieved.
Senting, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Chai Senting, Senior Research Officer at the Malaysian Research Institute on Aging at UPM, talking about what's needed to create that multi-generational workforce, which Malaysia will need to facilitate given that we are an aging population.
So it requires a mindset change, both employee and employer.
7:59 in the morning. We're going to head into the 8 a.m. news bulletin, but stay tuned after that for the Breakfast Grill when I speak to Ryan Liu, Executive Director of Unique Fire Holdings. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.